Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prahasya Bhava Gambiram Jigram Tyatmanam Atmana Kantya Sasarja Bhagavan Gandharv Apsarasam Ganam Prahasya Bhava Gambiram Jigrantyatmanam Atmana Kantya Sasarja Bhagavan Gandharvab Sarasam Ganam Prahasya, smiling, Bhava Gambiram, with a deep purpose, Jigrantya, understanding, Atmana, himself, Atmana, by himself, Kantya, by his loveliness, Sasarja, created, Bhagavan, the worshipful Lord Brahma, Gandharva, the celestial musicians, Apsarasa, and of the heavenly dancing girls, Ganan, the hosts of. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. With a laugh full of deep significance, the worshipful Brahma then evolved by his own loveliness, which seemed to enjoy itself by itself. The hosts of Gandharvas and Apsaras. Purport. The musicians in the upper planetary systems are called Gandharvas, and the dancing girls are called Apsaras. After being attacked by the demons and evolving a form of a beautiful woman in the twilight, Brahma next created Gandharvas and Apsaras. Music and dancing employed in sense gratification are to be accepted as demoniac, but the same music and dancing, when employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord in Kirtana, are transcendental, and they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. These Gandharvas are professional musicians. The Apsaras are considered their wives. Only in the material world are there a separate category of professional musicians. In the spiritual world, all the talking is song. Kata, gano, at least in Goloka. Maybe in Vaikuntha they're not so free that everything they say is a song. But in Goloka, that is natural. The residents, the Goloka Vasis, are natural musicians, singers, players of musical instruments very expertly. They don't need a separate class of professionals. In the material world, however, generally we don't talk in song. We talk very prosaically. And in the modern world, we can hardly talk coherently at all. Language has become so degraded. English language, 300 years ago, people were speaking very elegantly, 17th century. Nowadays, the language has become so degraded. People speak in a few hundred words, and just in cliches, and they don't even speak grammatically. It's not just the English language. All the languages have become corrupted. The Sanskrit language is an elegant language spoken on the planets of the demigods. It's called Devanagari. What is spoken in the cities of the devatas. And actually Sanskrit is also spoken in Vaikuntha. This is a language of poetry, of philosophy. Elegant, sophisticated language. It also was spoken on the earth. For some time, the Vedic Brahmanas, they chanted the Vedic mantras in Vedic Sanskrit, but at home they spoke regular Sanskrit. When the Rishis and others wrote their own books, they wrote it in human Sanskrit, what we call classical Sanskrit. Samskrita means perfect language. Perfectly composed. Samskrita. But that same language became degraded. As long as Brahminical standards of education were maintained, the Sanskrit language could be maintained. But when people became dull-minded and uneducated, they couldn't bother to properly learn the language. So Sanskrit became degraded into what we call Prakrit, vernacular, low-class language. And that Prakrit became further degraded into most of the languages that are spoken today in India. They are very degraded forms of the original. The northern, the Hindustani languages. Hindi itself, although it's originally based on Sanskrit, it has borrowed so many foreign things from Persian, from Arabic, from English. You know, it's not what you can call a pure Shuddha language, not at all. Ashuddha, impure, mixed up. So, anyway, language becomes degraded. What in the spiritual world in Goloka is originally pure song becomes practically like the growling and barking of cats and dogs. Human language becomes degraded, especially as Kali Yuga progresses. People can hardly express an idea. People graduate from the gymnasium, high school. They can't even write a sentence. People graduate with a PhD from the university and they hardly know anything. They can't express themselves clearly because they don't have any clear ideas. That's Kali Yuga. But anyway, in the material world in general, because people in general, if they speak even coherently, they speak very... what we say prosaically, very dry, unpoetic language. And they don't know how to sing nicely, the voice does not sound musical. Nobody knows the art of music. So you need a class of professionals, some experts, expert musicians. Originally these are the Gandharvas. Why? What do you need music on the heavenly planets? Of course, they have their mundane entertainments. Demigods have free time. A Shudra may have to work many hours every day, 6 days, 7 days a week. But a man who is more elevated, he has free time. He doesn't work every day, all day. He has some leisure. So there's time for entertainment.
demigods especially, they must have a lot of time just to sit around, drink soma juice, and have the apsaras and gandharvas entertain them.
So there's mundane purpose for music, but Prabhupada points out that that actually should be considered not the real business of demigods, that is the business of demons, that is demoniac, Prabhupada says in the purport. Utilizing art, music, for material entertainment is demoniac. It promotes material sense gratification. Anything that promotes the increase of sense gratification, especially unrestricted sense gratification, especially unrestricted sex, should be considered demoniac. But the same Gandharvas, even the same Apsaras, are also engaged in Harinam Sankirtana. The demigods are not completely, they're different than the demons. So they, although they take time to enjoy, they also take time to worship the Supreme Lord. So there are occasions, frequent occasions, I don't know how the schedule is on Swargaloka, but they take time to utilize their resources for the glorification of the personality of Godhead. And the Gandharvas and the Apsaras are engaged in singing and dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like in places where there are big temples, there are musicians and dancers even, and singers. Devadasis in Puri used to be. I think now they don't have any. The last Devadasi died or something. But they're meant to engage their art in the service of God
for His glorification.
Even in the Western countries, that concept was there originally, that all varieties of art are meant for the glorification of God. Until about the 14th, 13th, 14th century in Europe, it was not acceptable to use music and art for mundane purposes. It was exclusively for the purpose of religion, glorification of God. All the artists were working in the building cathedrals. The architects were building these big, big temples of God. And all the different, the carpenters and the men who made glass, they were all working, sculptors, just for the glorification of God. Also the musicians, also the painters, all the kinds of artists and artisans, mysteries. Mainly for the glorification of God, even in Europe, even in the barbarian countries. So that's there, certainly in the heavenly planets, in Swargaloka, and the higher planets, we have some evidence that these Gandharvas and Apsaras are also employed in Brahma's planet. Although we think that the higher planets are planets of celibates. So on Tapoloka, I don't know if they have musical entertainment. They're sitting there, the four Kumaras and others are sitting, simply meditating. They don't even open their eyes to look at anybody. You know, there's no, practically no social life there on Tapoloka. Everyone's just sitting and meditating. So I don't think they have much musical entertainment there. But we do hear. The story is there from the, I think, Vishnu Dharmota Purana that's related in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, that was Brahma visiting Krishna. Oh no, Anand Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavatam. Ninth canto, 24th chapter. King Revata needed to get his daughter married. He went to Lord Brahma to request help. He could not find anybody suitable on the earth. But Brahma was, it said in the Bhagavatam, Brahma was busy listening to a musical entertainment. And the doorkeeper asked Revata Maharaj to wait for a few minutes until it was finished. Until the song was finished. 5 minutes. And he waited. But those 5 minutes of Brahma were ages. Manvantaras on the earth. So, not Manvantaras, many, many thousands, millions of years passed.
And then when Rebata Maharaj, after getting the request fulfilled, Brahma promised, yes, don't worry. You go to Dwarka, meet Balaram, and give your daughter to him. So that happened. But when Rebata Maharaj came down with his daughter back to the earth, they found that nothing was there anymore. Not only their family was gone, dead, nobody remembered their family. And the kingdom was gone. No trace of their kingdom. The whole world had changed completely. Millions of years had passed. So, anyway, they did come back at the time of Krishna's appearance. They went to Dwarka and everything was arranged. Anyway, the point is there, that even in Brahma's planet, he was listening to music. Now, the tapasvis on Tapoloka, they don't indulge, but Brahma's transcendental to that. He can have a little bit of musical entertainment once in a while. The Gandharvas are engaged, even on Brahmaloka. So, we consider them, they're in the category of semi-demigods, upadevas, upadeva. Their proper place is antariksha, not swargaloka, but in between, between the earth and swargaloka. We don't say they're bad, we don't say they're that good. When we chant our Gayatri mantra, we generally cover our hand. One explanation is given. The Gandharvas can be envious, and they can put ideas in your head to disrupt your Gayatri. So therefore, so the Gandharvas don't see you chanting, you cover your hand. So Gandharvas can be mischievous, but they're generally not considered evil. Anyway, this is certainly a less harmful creation than that of the Rakshasas. Brahma could feel satisfied with this, but he's not fully satisfied. He doesn't feel that he's actually completed his mission just by creating these entertainers. They can be engaged in Krishna's service, but we need more than that. Brahma will finally feel satisfied when he creates the human beings. The human race are meant for serious work. They perform jagya. They perform sacrifice. They work hard. And it's the human beings who maintain everybody else. The demigods are ruling and enjoying, but they're eating the fruit of sacrifice. And that fruit is generated by the hard labor of the human beings. The brahmanas, they work hard in performing the sacrifices. It's hard work, it's mental work. You have to concentrate, to recite the Vedic mantras. You must be very careful to pronounce, to know the mantras, but then also pronounce them exactly correct. That takes great concentration of the mind. And you have to settle your mind, you have to be peaceful. If your mind is disturbed, then you'll chant improperly. That takes a lot of effort, brahminical effort. And then all the external paraphernalia of the sacrifice, the physical offerings, must be made properly. Especially that is the job of the Advayu, Yajurveda priests. That is also very hard work, but brahminical work. The others also have to work to help the sacrifice. The Kshatriyas have to defend. Make sure that there is no disruption of the sacrifice. If some demons come, they have to go out and kill the demons. The Kshatriyas also see that taxes are taken and contributions are made to the brahmanas so the sacrifices can be performed. The Kshatriyas very often are the sponsors who pay for the sacrifice. The Vaishyas also are sponsors. The Shudras use their physical labor to make possible the sacrifice. Everybody is participating, all the human beings. The farmers, what do we offer in the sacrifice? Ghee, grains, milk. The Vaishyas who farm, they produce the milk, the grains. And it's not that easy. It's hard work, agriculture. So the human beings are working very hard to perform sacrifice for the benefit of themselves and also of the demigods. Demigods depend on this. Brahma knows this, and therefore when he finally produced the human race, then he really felt satisfied that his work was reaching its completion. That the creation was basically complete. Now everything can go on nicely, thanks to the human beings. So we may think, human race, we're just living on this small planet, and there are many greater beings who live on the higher planets, and we're nothing compared to them. But they depend on us. The human race is glorified. Bharat Varsha, the Earth planet, is glorified, especially in Kali Yuga. What does it say? Kalavichanti sambhavam. Kwachid maharaja dravadi shucha buddhishaha. Even the great demigods and sages are praying to be allowed to take birth in Bharatvarsha in Kali Yuga. Especially in Kali Yuga. They take birth. Great souls from higher planets come and take birth. Kwachit, in various places, especially in Bharatvarsha. Dravideshu cha Bhurishaha. Especially in southern India, in Dravida Desh. The Sampradaya Acharyas and Shankara Acharya, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, the Mayavad Sampradaya, their Acharyas, founder Acharyas, all were born in South India. Of course, there are some people who say, oh, Nimbarka was born, Radhakund, near Radhakund, and this and that. But actually, Prabhupada said the founders of all the Acharyas were born in South India. So even the demigods, they want to take birth on the earth. And they want to take birth on the earth in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, what was achieved in great difficulty in previous ages by severe sadhana is achieved very easily simply by Nam Sankirtan. Krite yad dhyayato Vishnum Tretayam Yajato Makai Dwarapare Parichayayam Palau Tod Parikirtanat. What can be accomplished, in other words, devotion for the Supreme Lord, for Krishna, was achieved, the method for getting love of God. In this first age, the Satyayuga was meditation. That was their sadhana. And it took thousands, tens of thousands of years to perfect. In Treta Yuga, people live less and they don't have the same spiritual strength. So a different method is established for Treta Yuga. That is the method of Vedic fire sacrifice. And in Dwarpa Yuga, the mode of passion becomes prominent and people are even less capable. So they're given the method of worshipping the deity in the temple for developing Krishna consciousness. Kalau tad dhari kirtanat. The same that could be achieved in the previous ages by these other means, in our age, Kali Yuga, is accomplished simply by glorifying Krishna's name and fame. So that's why demigods and sages want to take birth among the human beings on this planet during the Kali Yuga, so they can participate in the Sankirtan movement under the auspices of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gandharvas and Apsaras also are joining the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. There's so many wonderful musicians among the associates of Chaitanya. Actually, they're not just Gandharvas. They're, Brajabhasis from Goloka. The immediate Vasudev Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, these great musicians. They're Goloka musicians. But also, demigods are also coming and joining the movement, including Gandharvas and Apsaras. everything canon should be used. Art, music, should be used in the glorification of Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Well, okay, you can read that at the last part of the 24th chapter of the 9th canto. Balaram was perfectly willing to marry the daughter of Revata Maharaj. The only thing is, because she came from the previous age, from the beginning of Dwarpa Yuga, she was very big. Much too big for him. So he stepped on her toes, right? Something with his hala, he pulled her up with his hala, yeah. Held her down with his, you know, put his feet on top of her feet, then pulled her down, I'm sorry, with his plow, and made her proper size for himself. Then he married her, Revati, wife of Balaram. That's the end of the story, that's what Bhagavatam tells us. What do we mean by come? Anybody. My mother was at Radhakund. Anybody can come. But to just come and get pounced on by the pandas and the little kids, spend 2 minutes and have to go away, is one thing. But to be allowed entrance into Radhakund, to stay, to be able to perceive the rasa of Radhakund. Who is allowed that? We can be physically in the place and get the benefit. We can sprinkle the water in our head or take a snan and get great benefit. But to actually see what is there, to actually see the personified, the manifest love of Radharani in the form of Radhakund, to actually know that, that's allowed to almost nobody. So many people are going there and they're staying there for months or years. And they're remaining materialists. And then after a few months or a few years, they go back to their materialism. So that's not entrance into Radhakund. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made Radhakund public. He discovered it. Raghunath Das developed so people can come on pilgrimage and visit it. That is the great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. And if a demigod wants to also come, he can come in disguise and take the bus from Delhi and visit Radhakund. I'm sure they're doing that. Demigods are coming in disguise. If we can do it, why can't they? But to stay, or more important, and people stay and they still don't appreciate it, to be able to see it, to actually see the taste, the rasa, to actually experience the spiritual experience, that isn't allowed to anyone who's not fit. Demigods can't participate like that. And demigods are civilized. They're not going to want to barge into a place where they're not welcome. Only, uncivilized people do that. Civilized people will not go where they don't feel it's the right place for them. So that's why demigods usually don't come. But since now everyone's going to Radhakund, they can also come for a short visit. But great souls like Uddhava and Narada, they live on the outside of Radhakund, on the outskirts, 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers away from Radhakund. They don't want to barge in. You think Uddhava would not be allowed in? But he doesn't feel fit. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I read that he said that I'm not fit to live in Radhakund. My father can live there, but I'll live in Govardhan. I'm not fit to live in Radhakund. But he didn't stay there. He established, he put his brahmacharis there. He would go once a month, Kartika. But that's all. He would never stay longer. Once a year, for 1 month. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had his house there. He would stay in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, but only for 1 month a year.
Jai Shri Krishna Balaram.
He wouldn't stay longer than a month. Well, what Prabhupada said, he told us, in, you know, back when Prabhupada was here, if you stay more than 45 minutes in Radhakund, it becomes Narakakund. He discouraged his disciples from hanging around in Radhakund. Go there, take bath. He said, if you stay there more than 45 minutes, it becomes Narakakund. Especially, you know, so many Babaji's who will try to tell the devotees so many things. So much politics in Radhakund, so we have to be careful about it.